Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you through the knowledge of God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've chosen the gospel as our text for today, and we look at the first few verses of those, but we will cover the whole text of the gospel. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. In the name of Christ, friends and fellow redeemed, what do non-Christians usually think of or define what they think about Jesus Christ? Many people will say, he was a great prophet. Others might say he was a very sweet and generous person. Others might say that he was a wonderful teacher. And still others might say, he was a wonderful example to show us how we are to live. There might be even some who will say, he was the Son of God, wasn't he? But that is something that they don't know quite how to define when they confess in that way. And so Jesus, in his what we call his state of humiliation, went through rough times. At the beginning of his ministry, he became very popular. He went about the countryside. He was doing miracles, casting out demons from people, healing the sick and so on, and preaching wonderful words for the people to hear and take to heart. But after a few years of doing that, toward the end, before he went to his crucifixion, he was becoming unpopular. And in the context of the gospel lesson that is read to you, if you look back at it, you see there are several things there that are very important to behold, and that was the scribes and the Pharisees were always taunting him, trying to say to him, "Give us a sign, who are you?" And they simply would not believe that he was the Messiah that God had sent. And then before this is also that terrific scene that you find in the Bible where Jesus and his disciples were gathered around. And Jesus asked them that important question, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some said, you're a great prophet. You're like Elijah returned, or somebody that was in the past that has returned now to deliver the words of God to us. "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus said. And then Peter said very clearly, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he said, "Blessed are you that you've uttered this, for this is the confession that people will make." But after that, he told his disciples that they were going to have to take up a cross and to follow him. And he said that after Peter, you made that great confession, many people are going to reject me. The Son of Man is going to be going to Jerusalem. And there he will be rejected and he will be scourged and whipped and suffer at the hands of men. And then he continued with that thought, "If you're to be my disciples and followers, you've got to expect the cross." That's what was going on prior to this great showing on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was moving into rejection and moving toward another mountain from this one that he went up to. And that was, he was moving toward Calvary, where he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. But I'm sure that the apostles were all, they were very puzzled at this, that he was going to be going to suffering and he would be killed, and on the third day rise again. What in the world did that mean? They were very puzzled by that. And so that's kind of the attitude to go up to the mountain. And he took with him three main leaders of those disciples, Peter, James, and John, so that they could see something more than his state of humiliation as he walked upon the earth, just like any other man. He ate, he drank, he went along with the disciples to many different places. He became physically weary. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, all showing he was truly a man. But they didn't quite understand exactly everything. And then he decided to take Peter, James, and John up that mountain. Now, my wife and I have visited that mountain, the traditional Mount Tabor in Palestine. And I remember we went up the mountain too one day, and Vicki will remember that the way we went up was not by walking. We went up by, they had a whole bunch of taxi for us and for the people who were with us that took us up by taxi to the top of the mountain. And there on top of the mountain now, they of course have a little shrine there that commemorates the Transfiguration. And so while we were up there, I decided that I was going to read this portion of the gospel to the people who were there and have a little meditation on it with them there. And when we got to the top of the mountain, which is not high like we think of high mountains with snow and so on, but it's a pretty good mountain. And we were up there and it was cloudy, as if a mist came over us. And so as I was there reading the gospel of Matthew to them about the Transfiguration, all of a sudden, as I got down to the lower portion of it, suddenly the clouds broke away, and here comes streaming through this beautiful sunlight on the top of the mountain. You can imagine how all of us felt when we saw that thing take place, because we knew that God was revealing his son to them. Now, as they get up to the mountain, let's take a look at several glimpses here on the mountain. And remember that he had lost his popularity. He was going to his death, and his disciples didn't understand that. And he's there with his disciples. And here is the first glimpse. The first glimpse we see, where we want to reveal to you, is that glimpse to see what was going to follow after this glorious revelation on Mount Tabor. And so Jesus is there, and all of a sudden the disciples see his face beaming like the sun, his garment white as snow. And he's talking with Moses, and he's talking with Elijah. Now, I can't go into all the details. How in the world did they know it was Moses and Elijah and all that? Those questions keep coming up and so on. But he was talking with them, and they beheld that majesty, and the two of them that appeared with him were also in glorious array, if you will. They were shining also. And Moses represented the Old Testament prophets, the law of God which he had given, and Elijah represented all of those prophets of old who had foretold the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. And Isaiah, at the height of his ministry, prophesied that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And so all through the Old Testament, you have these predictions of this coming one, this coming Messiah, who's going to be despised and rejected of men, a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. And it goes on through, Isaiah goes on through his revelation to show that he would be raised again from the dead, and so on. But all of these things were revealed by the prophets of the Old Testament as well as Moses. And so God is going to make clear to them who Jesus really was. And from him on that day showed the glory of the Lord, showed his divinity, if you will, that he was the God-man in reality and truth and so forth and so on. And then after this, the disciples were there amazed at this, and we wonder, what were they talking about? In the Gospel of Matthew, we're not told. But if you go to Luke, and Luke gives his account of the transfiguration, and he says to them, or the word says that he was, that Moses and Elijah were speaking to him about his coming exodus at Jerusalem. And that involved suffering. So they were there also to comfort him, who was truly man and truly God, but they were there to comfort him and to talk to him about what was coming, the ordeal he was going to go through, but that they were also pointing to that final victory that he would have in his resurrection from the dead. And so the disciples, who were kind of drowsy, had awakened in all of this, and they were startled. They didn't know what to do. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to say about something? And you're, I think we use the word, you're befuddled about something. What's going on? What's going on? So Peter, you know, he's always ready to step forward as you look at him in the Gospels. He wanted to build three tents. Well, we should probably translate that, tabernacles. He wanted to build three tabernacles up there. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. And that's what he said. He didn't know what he was talking about. But it gives you a hint that he sort of said, boy, we're see all this majestic glory of God and the clouds and so on and the bright light. We just want to stay there and worship. But that was not to be at all. And as they were still taken aback by all of this, a bright cloud overshadowed them, says the text. And all through the Old Testament, whenever God was revealing himself to Moses and many of the prophets, he appeared in that bright cloud. Especially, you remember when they were led out of Egypt and that cloud that followed them. This is the Shekinah, the bright cloud that shows God's glory. Not only did they see their Lord arrayed in that glorious way, with shining all about him and so forth to show forth his true deity, that though he was man, yet he was also the Son of God from all eternity, as we confess him to be in the Nicene Creed. And so as that took place, suddenly that bright cloud had overshadowed them, and the voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so that is a lesson that we can draw from that. Where are we to learn the truth about who Jesus was? It's in the divine revelation that has been given us in the Holy Scriptures. And in those Holy Scriptures, we see quite clearly that he was the true Son of God given unto us that we might be redeemed from sin, death, and hell and be given eternal life. And these disciples, of course, they were just terrified. I guarantee you and myself, as poor sinners, if the Lord ever appeared to us in that way, we would be terrified also. But he chooses to come to us in that word of comfort, that word of his, the word of God, by which we can hear of our forgiveness and our life and salvation that has been given to us in and through Jesus Christ. But they were terrified. And they opened their eyes, and they saw no one but Jesus only. And that's what we Christians are all about. When we go to witness in the world, we want people to see Jesus only, to see who he is, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who was delivered for our salvation to the cross, and so on. Now, Jesus heard this wonderful word that was given to him, and a word of comfort while he was there with Moses and Elijah, and he became strengthened for what he was about to get into when he came down from the mountain. So we need to remember that we may have mountaintop experiences once in a while in our own lives, as we all do, but God does not want us to remain on the mountain. He wants us to come down into the valley where Jesus goes back with his disciples. And as soon as he goes back and is down in the midst, in the valley, you might say, he heals a demoniac boy and so on. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be in this world and to remember that as he went to bear the cross, when we are in this present world, we have to bear our crosses too. But I want to remind you of something else, and that's this. The scriptures tell us that someday when Jesus Christ comes again, that we will be raised from the dead, and we will be given glorious bodies like unto his own glorious body. Can you imagine that? Here, while we are in this valley below, we have to suffer many things. Sometimes rejection or ridicule of mankind, persecution breaks out. We have physical ailments as we get older. I'm reminded of that by my birthday last week. But more than just reminded of that, I was reminded, of this weak knee I have. But anyway, all of that will be taken away. When we are raised from the dead, we are promised in the scripture that we will shine with the glory that God will give to us on that day. Our bodies will be whole and complete, gone away all suffering, all the pain, all of the age that we go through. Go home and read 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul talks about the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. But another fact that brings that home to us is that who is there on the mount? Moses and Elijah. Now, about Moses, you may have some questions, but Moses is there. Somehow, maybe he was raised from the dead. Some have speculated about that and gone into heaven. But what happened to Elijah. He was taken up alive in that fiery chariot. So that, too, reminds us that this life is not all. We may die and depart, but we depart to be with Christ, to wait for the return to our resurrected of the body, which will be glorified in that world which is to come. So all that kind of comfort we can take from this narrative that is before us. We'll be covering some of that in the Bible class today, and you can some more on that, but I hope you can be with us. So God comfort you and bless you with these glimpses of His glory that were given to us in today's text. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.